Good singing. Let's turn in our Bibles to the book of John, chapter 14. John chapter 14. I mentioned something in John this morning. Brother Hardecker's said that he thought, oh no, he's going to steal my sermon. So it's just amazing how the Holy Spirit works that out. And we were in the same book and same chapter. John chapter 14, we're going to read verses 1 through 6. John 14, 1 through 6. When you're there, please stand for the reading of the Word of God. John chapter 14, verses 1 through 6. I will read verse 1, join me on verse 2. I'll read verse 3, and join me on verse 4, and so forth, till we get down to verse number 6. John 14, 1 through 6. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You may be seated.
Well, first of all, thank you for the invitation to come and to share with you God's call and burden for us to be in the Philippines. We've spent 5 years ministering in the Philippines, and there's a church work over there that's continuing on, even in our absence. And God's doing wonderful things over there. And we're just so thankful, again, for the invitation to come. We've never known about Victory Baptist Church. We've known Pastor Ryan's for very little. But the more we get to know you, the more thankful we are that you're our friend, a friend to us, and we're a friend to you. And I just appreciate this church and appreciate your the love that you feel in this church. There's a special warmth and a special acceptance that you find in this church. That I can't say that for every church we've been to. But if there's one mark about this church, I could tell you there's a love in here. And I appreciate that. We saw that. And your friendliness, your hospitality, thank you, Pastor, your friendship. We just ask that you would pray for us. We return, Lord willing, July 25th. That's a Monday. We'll be flying from LAX straight to Manila, and we'll arrive Wednesday morning. And that's because of the time change and that kind of stuff. So just pray for us. Pray specifically that the Philippines would open up. And by that I mean that they will declare the pandemic an endemic, Lord willing, and everybody else can start loosening up all the protocols, which really doesn't matter right now anyway because it's campaign season. And they're packing the auditoriums and they're packing stadiums by the thousands, you know, trying to vote for their candidate, which quite frankly, I'm not going to say anything because I have nothing good to say about politics. Our hope is in the Lord. That's all I'm saying, you know. But John chapter number 14 tonight, John chapter 14. And the Gospel of John presents Jesus Christ as the Son of God. And he basically divides his book into two sections, from chapter 1 to chapter 11, is the public ministry of Jesus Christ. And constantly, if you read the book of John, his enemies intensify as he progresses through his public ministry. But in chapter 12, John pivots and cracks down on the last week of Christ. In John chapter 12, this is more of his private ministry, culminating to the crucifixion of our Lord and Savior, and how he accomplished our salvation on the cross, where he said, "It is finished." And so we have that. But here in chapter 14, we find him in the upper room speaking these words of life. And this is how I love listening to the reading of the scriptures. And these are the words of life, and they breed words of encouragement and hope to us today as believers, as born-again New Testament believers in the Lord. If you're born again and saved, we have a future to look forward to. Amen. Because of these words right here. Amen. And so, I don't know about you, but do you have the victory? I mean, this is Victory Baptist Church, right? Amen. Do you have the victory today? I don't know what mountain you're facing, what situation God has put in front of you, and how He'll guide you through that. But I know that God wants to give you the victory. I know that for sure. And like what Pastor said, we're on the winning side. That's so true. And I'm so thankful for that. Well, chapter 14, we find these words, "Let not your heart be troubled." Jesus begins with a negative command, something not to do, and then he gives us two positive commands. Let not your heart be troubled. That's the negative. Don't let your heart be troubled. Now, why would the disciples be troubled? They would be troubled because Jesus is leaving them. He's heading to the Father. He's returning to the Father, basically. And he's leaving them behind. And so they might be discouraged. They might be dismayed. And he says, let not your heart be troubled. And then he gives two commands. And they're kind of redundant, but they are two commands. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. So don't let your heart be troubled, but instead of letting your heart be troubled, believe and believe. Two believes, boy, two positives outweighing that. And that positive command of believe is durative in nature, meaning to say you're to believe in God and keep on believing in God. You're to keep on believing in Christ. Amen. And keep on believing in Him. Believe and believe. Both together are more than enough for what they will face as His disciples. And they are for us, these negative commands. Let not your heart be troubled. This, believe in God. Believe also in me. These will be words of hope for you and for me as a believer. So I know the Philippines is messed up a little bit, and not just not the Philippines necessarily. There are portions of the Philippines that are more open than Metro Manila, but we are ministering in Metro Manila, and so we had 535 days of lockdown, more than any other section of the country. I can't speak of Baguio. I can't speak of Samar. I think the provinces and all the other areas are more looser. But they told us you can't have religious gatherings, and so we didn't want to break the presumption of regularity. We follow the law. We're not lawbreakers, but you know God gave us wisdom on how we can have church without calling it religious assembly. You know, we just basically created food packs, and everybody who could come and make food packs, they're welcome to come and on a Sunday morning and make food packs. And on the side, we would preach and teach and sing and give and testify and pray. We would have church. We just didn't call it church. You don't have to call it anything. I mean, that's just the world. So, but God's good. And then that one time, the government was like, you cannot have any religious gatherings except for a funeral or a wedding. Well, I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, how are we going to do this? And God gave me wisdom. So when God gives you wisdom, you got to put it to use. So folks were asking Brother Bill, are we going to have church? I said, of course we're going to have church. They're like, well, you can only do a funeral or a wedding. I said, well, we're going to have a memorial service. They said, well, who died? I said, well, Jesus did. And do you know what the Lord's Supper is? The Lord's Supper is a memorial service. Amen. Where we stop and think and remember and are thankful for His blood and His body. Amen. And so it gave us an opportunity to teach the church again about the Lord's Supper and we had it, and it was a wonderful thing. And I tell you what, if they didn't lift that one up, we'd still have Lord. We'd be having Lord's Supper every Sunday, amen. Well, the Bible doesn't say to have it, you know, ever, you know, a little bit here and there. It says as oft. So, you know, you can have it as much as you want. The point is we need to stop and remember his blood and his body, his sacrifice on the cross. And that's the closest thing to a funeral without a body is a memorial service. So, well, good luck in finding his body. Amen. Amen. We know where it is. It's at the right hand of the Father in heaven. That's where it is. And so John 14, he says these precious words in verse number 2. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. And Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whether thou goest, how can we know the way? And Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Let's pray and ask God to bless them. Father, we thank you, Lord, for these words. And I pray, Father, as we look into the scriptures, I pray you'd encourage hearts. Lord, I know there may be some heavy hearts, Lord, that need a word of encouragement, a word of hope. God, I pray you'd breathe. The Holy Spirit of God would take these words and would revive our hearts, God, would remind us of Calvary, would remind us of your great sacrifice on the cross. And as we look forward to the future, living with you, never to be separated ever again, Lord, and we look forward to that day. So, Father, I pray you'd empower us, God, to continue into the mission that you've called us to, Lord, and that is planting, establishing independent biblical Baptist churches, Lord, that will win souls, that will disciple them and assimilate them into church and turn them into your followers, clear until Jesus comes back, Lord. And we just ask that you'd strengthen us, Lord. Give us the victory, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, notice it says here, the Father's house, verse number 2, in my Father's house. You know, when I think of the Father's house, heaven, are we saying how beautiful heaven must be? I think of a home. You'll sang it this morning. The ensemble just sang it like nobody's business. I'm so glad to be a part of the family of God. And the only way you can be a part of that family is by receiving Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. I mean, he needs to come into your heart and be your Savior. And once you trusted him as your Savior, you know what? You're in the family of God. You call God your heavenly Father. You can go to him. And I think of heaven, I think of a place that is full of tenderness, full of affection and love. A home. There's no place like home. Now, I didn't grow up in a Christian home. Marcia grew up in a Christian home. Can I tell you something? There's nothing sweeter, more sweeter on earth than a Christian mom and a Christian dad. Amen. Now, I didn't grow up in a Christian home, but it doesn't mean I can't have a Christian home. By the grace of God, we're raising our boys in a Christian home. Amen, boys? This is a Christian home. We're going to obey the Lord, whether you like it or not. And hopefully someday God will really do a work in your heart. And then you're going to want a Christian home for your family someday. But when I think of heaven, I think of a place of rest. I think of a place of happiness. You know, there's a saying, there's no place like home. Home for me was my dad drank and physically abusive. It wasn't a place that there were times when I wish I wasn't there. But for Marcia, she grew up in a loving home. I mean, when I met Dr. Randy and Shirley Starr, my father-in-law, they love each other. They hug each other. They say, I love you. They affirm love to one another. They really care for each other. They pray for each other. They like to hang out with each other. I mean, Mom, you know, and Mrs. Starr, Mom Starr, and Marcia Hardecker, they like to go thrifting. They like to go grocery shopping together. Good. Amen. They love each other. They would call each other, you know, she's in the Philippines, Mrs. Starr is in Pennsylvania, they're on Facebook doing, I don't know, FaceTime or Messenger or Marco Polo. There's hundreds of apps on the phone. And they would affirm love to one another. They keep in touch. They keep in touch. Why? Because home is a place of love and acceptance. You can be you at home. Home is when everybody knows your warts and they still love you anyway. I think of a place of that is literally out of this world. Home, the Father's house. Nothing like it on earth. Which also reminds me, we are pilgrims. We're pilgrims. You know what, young people? I tell my boys this. This is not heaven. This world is not your home. We're just pilgrims passing through. Don't dig your roots too deep here on earth. All this is a lipstick on a pig. All the glitter and trinkets of this world, it's just a lipstick on a pig. The true treasure, right here, the Word of God, King James Bible, gold. Yea, though much fine gold, sweeter also than honey, than the honeycomb. The sweetest thing, the most precious thing that God left us here on earth is His precious words. The soul, the eternal soul. Well, where will you live forever? You're going to live forever somewhere someday. If you're saved, you're going to live in heaven with Him. If you're not saved, you'll be in a lake of fire someday. We're still far from home, friends. We're still far from home. Now, the Lord's mission is noted over here in verse number 3. He says, in verse number 2, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, here's His mission, I go. He's going. Missions is about going. What's our great missionary doing? I go to prepare a place for you. Hey, He's preparing a place for us. And if I go and prepare a place for you, here's the other thing He's going to do. I will come again. Amen? Oh, I tell you what. I look forward to the return of Jesus Christ. You know what He's going to do? He's going to come up down here to the clouds. He's not going to set foot at Jerusalem until 7 years later, by the way, just so you know. He's going to come down in the clouds. And everyone who's born again, everyone who's saved, He's going to attract them like a magnet attracts metal. And everything that's not metallic is going to be left behind. So all those who are saved and born again, He's going to take them. He's going to snatch them out of this world. The word is rapture. We call it rapture. But in the Greek, it's called something, hagiazo or something like that. But what it means is snatch. It's going to happen so fast in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. The Bible teaches that. And all those who are saved, I mean, it's good that you're in church. That's wonderful. But there's something a little better than that. In Christ. In Christ. Everyone who is in Christ. You're going to be raptured out of this old world of sin, and we're going to be with Him forever. And we'll never, ever depart from Him ever again. We'll never be separated ever again. And by the way, did you notice these words? He says, I will come again and receive you unto myself. You know, Jesus Himself will be looking for us. He'll be coming back for us. He could have very well sent Gabriel. He could have very well sent Michael. He could have very well sent any of the seraphims or cherubims. He could have very well sent any of those beasts up in Revelation, you know, up in the throne. But he doesn't do that. He says, I'm coming for you. Oh, my. The Lord's mission. He's building many mansions. Now, how many mansions are in the Father's house? I believe there's more there for all. And there's more mansions. If you look at the statistics of the miles of heaven, how huge heaven is, the New Jerusalem, in Revelation 22, you do a study on that. And Wilmington's Bible guide has the mileage. You can fit billions of people on just the first level. We the entire world right now, we have, 8 billion people? That's a fraction of heaven. Now, I believe God wants many people saved. And there's room for many more. But heaven's not for everyone. It's only for true believers. Just for those who are born again and saved. Many mansions, yes. And he's preparing it for you. It's particular. It's for you. And he says, I will receive you unto myself. What words of comfort and hope this breathes into us. Jesus is coming back for us. His mission is not complete if he doesn't come back for us. Now, there's going to be one generation of Christians that's going to escape a 7-year lockdown. Now, we're boo-hooing about 535 days of lockdown. It was not easy. Those were hard days. But can I tell you, and they were checking our temple scans. They were temple scanning us for temperature. As if you have a fever, you're not allowed outside the house. So there were corners that had police stations and military checkpoints to make sure you had a quarantine pass so you can operate and do whatever you need to do. I believe that's a dry run. I mean, we woke up March 15 of 2020. All of a sudden, there were in every corner police checkpoints and military checkpoints. Like, well, how did they all know to do that, you know? Boy, they got it set up just like that. Well, friend, after the rapture, guess what? Holy Spirit's taken out of the way, and the Antichrist is revealed. And there's going to be military checkpoints all over the place, but they're going to be checking not for your temperature. They're going to be checking for the mark of the beast. Jesus' departure unto the Father opens up heaven for us. That's one part of his mission. His absence here opens up heaven for us. Remember when Jesus came the first time? There was no room for him. But when he died on the cross and resurrected from the grave, he made room for everyone. Jesus is coming again. Jesus will receive us to himself. And here's the entire mission of Christ summarized in one verse. What's his main mission? Verse 6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus' doctrine, his work, his teaching, everything he did, his incarnation, his atonement on the cross, his blood atonement on the cross, is to bring us to the Father. Amen. That's his mission, to bring us to the Father. And there's only one way, and that's the reason why a lot of people don't like Christians. Because we live in a world that is tolerant. And now this tolerance is endorsing. everyone and everything except Christianity. Because of this claim right here, the whole world, I mean, you'd name them, they don't like us. Because we believe that there's only one way, and that way is Jesus Christ. But the message hasn't changed. We haven't changed, and we're not going to change our message. Even if the world rejects us. Why? Because Jesus said, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. There's only one way, and the way is Christ. And we haven't changed our message. I love doing missionary work in the Philippines. We get to preach and teach. There's only one way. And that's what we do every Sunday morning. We preach a gospel message every Sunday morning. And I tell our people, you bring your friends, you bring your family, they're going to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. And then Sunday night, I do a Christian message. See, people need to get saved, and then after you're saved, you need to get sanctified. We don't pray to get saved all the time. You only get saved once. You're born again once. But I'll tell you what we need every day. We need cleansing every day. We need to be cleansed. And how do we get cleansed? By confessing our sin. And asking God to forgive us of our sin. And thank God He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin. And then when He cleans you up, you serve Him. You serve Him. With a clean heart, with a free spirit, you sing unto the Lord, you serve Him. You come to church, you serve Him. Just serve. With a clean heart. Young people, maybe someday God will call you to be a missionary. Moms and dads, if you don't talk positive about missions, they probably won't be missions minded. And don't pray for somebody else to send their kids when you don't pray for your own kids to be sent. But the only way that they'll grow a heart for missions is if you have a heart for missions. But young people, one day, if God ever calls you, whether to plant a church here in the United States or to stay in this church and grow this church to the glory of God or establish a work in the foreign country as a missionary, let me tell you something. Prepare now for future service. Keep your heart clean always because God cannot use a dirty vessel. Prepare yourself now for future use. Where do missionaries come from? Well, they come from homes, Christian homes. Moms and dads who pray and talk positive about missions. And those homes belong to a biblical Baptist church where they hear the preaching and teaching of the Word of God and they make decisions based upon the Word of God. Not upon emotions. And then someday when you feel that God's calling me to preach or God wants me to use me in a special way to plant a church, to promote a church, or to propagate church. It's always going to be church, by the way. God's dispensation today, it's the local New Testament church. Okay, just so you know. But cherish that fellowship you have here, folks. If the COVID virus taught us one thing, it taught us that to cherish the fellowship. And y'all make it look good. Y'all make it look easy. But I know nothing worth having is as easy as it looks. Young people, I say it because you're the next generation. You'll be coming up. You're the future pastors and pastors' wives and missionaries, young people. That's you. You won't have the church you have now if you don't believe and stand for what this church stands for. It could change in a dime. But God gave us these words, and He says here, let not your heart be troubled. So, hey, friend, do you have trouble in your heart tonight? Take comfort in this command. Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. Let's continue believing in Him, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. And let's do the mission work that Jesus left for us to do. What did Jesus do? He's bringing men to the Father. So what should we be doing as Christians? We should be bringing men to the Father. I hope that's what you're about, because that's what Jesus is about. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for these words. Lord, we would be ignorant concerning heaven if it weren't for your word. We would be ignorant about the mission of Christ and bringing others to the knowledge and saving knowledge of the Heavenly Father and submission to the Father and following him. I pray, God, that you would give us the victory tonight, Lord. I pray if there's some who don't know Jesus as Savior, that tonight they would come to know him as Lord and Savior. Pray for those Christians, God, that you might be calling them into the ministry or have something special for them. They want to serve you in a special way, even inside the church, outside the church, Lord, to plant other churches. I pray, Father, you protect especially the young people, God. Help them to be clean. Help them to grow serious, Lord. Help them to learn about the Father and live for him. And remind them they're pilgrims. This isn't their heaven, that the best is yet to come. We love you, Lord. And ask that you do a work in Jesus' name. Amen.